This is so funny because this is wrong. You say we don't know, but you all were our little kids. So we went through all of that with you all.
You're around someone 24 hours, and in this new period of time, you can either go crazy or it can really bring you all together.
For us, marriage is giving you my heart, giving you the power to hurt me deeper than anybody else can, and hoping that you don't.
Marriage doesn't work if you're not willing to be vulnerable.
When you're blending a family and you're looking for someone who's going to come into this pre-existing dynamic, the married couple is really going to be the foundation of the family, even if the children were there before the spouse.
I think once you get a rhythm in what you can expect from each other, then you adjust to that. That does a whole lot, don't you?
Yeah, it does. But we do get updates.
Yeah.
Because situations dictate a different reaction.
Most generally, you model the home you came from.
Or so, not.
Well, no. Like, for instance, you, I mean, the way you function is a lot like your aunt who raised you.
Yes.
You know.
That's me.
Yeah, it's you. Yeah. So your idea of a good wife or your idea of what a husband should be, a lot of times is affected by where you came from. It models your idea. Either you emulate it or you're trying not to be where
it's
you came from.
That part.
Sometimes it's that too. But one way or the other, it affects the model. And then the real art of marriage is to take the model she had in mind and the model that I had in mind and merge it together into what God had in mind for us and for our destiny. Would you all agree with that?
Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that. You all can just jump in and feel free.
Yeah, like you do anyway.
Like you do anyway. Like you on TV. They're acting, listen, y'all. They're acting all bougie today, but this is not really how they are. And give them about 3 minutes for them to figure out how to bust through. When you start talking about marriage, let me start with Cora. How long do you think it took you and Brandon to get into a groove of what works for you?
Well, we've been together for 9 years in June, maybe for 9 years in June, but we've been together for 11 years. And I think that in our marriage, I'd say maybe year six was kind of when we started kind of getting into not really arguing anymore, having a groove and an understanding for one another, and really being able to understand each other's languages, not just our love language, but we come from way different model homes. Like, our homes are completely different. There's no similarities whatsoever outside of the fact that we both have our mothers. And so it was very, very difficult for us to try to figure out what our culture was going to be without me saying, well, mom and dad did it this way, or, well, mom and dad said, well, this is what mama would say, and having to get out of that and say, okay, well, yeah, that's what your mom and dad did, and that works really great for them, and that can be wonderful, but what will our culture be, and kind of designing that for ourselves so that our children could look and see our marriage as opposed to, oh, they're just doing the same exact thing that their parents did. So it took us about, I'd say, 5 or 6 years. And we're still, you know, learning, but we haven't had an argument or a fight in several years. Yeah.
Now, Torrey and Sarah, you all had a very unique experience because you're a blended family. So you can speak from a perspective that's very unique. Talk about how that blending worked and how you all connected, and how do you find time for you in the midst of the Roberts Bunch, in lieu of the Brady Bunch, I call it the Roberts Bunch.
Yeah, I think blending a family was something that I wanted to be really intentional about. I'd been married before, And so I knew that the dynamic between whoever's coming into the lives of my children was really, really important to me. But I also knew that we couldn't just decide like, hey, we're getting married, and then overnight expect for them to kind of gel. So once we really felt that God had brought us together and that this was something that he was going to do and we were going to walk out marriage and life together, I knew pretty early on that I wanted the kids to get to know one another. And because I was living in Dallas at the time, he was in Los Angeles, I flew out with my children and we all went out on dates to, you know, Disneyland. We went to Dave and Buster's. We had dinner. We all went to his apartment and like made cookies and had dinner. But I wanted them to have an opportunity to get a feel for me. I wanted to get a feel for them, right? Because I wanted to make sure that we had the same perspective on parenting. I think when you're blending a family and you're looking for someone who's going to come into this pre-existing dynamic, the married couple is really going to be the foundation of the family, even if the children were there before the spouse. And so we have to share a lot of things in common. How do you feel about X, Y, and Z? What are your thoughts on when they should date? What are your thoughts on, can she wear a two-piece? I mean, every little thing we kind of had to come to an agreement with before presenting it to the children. We didn't hash it out in front of the kids, but we took a minute, even if it's something going on now, and maybe we share a different perspective, we kind of put a pin in it with the children. We come to our room, we go to the car, whatever, we huddle, right? And then we figure out what the game plan is going to be and who's going to present it.
What I really like about what you said, there were many great things, but one of the things is dating, but in essence, I'll say it, you didn't say it this way, but this is what it meant. You dated the kids along with dating him. And I think that's very important. Because a lot of people, they get married, they're into each other, but they're not into the kids. It's a package deal. And the kids need some time to adjust to who is this new person in my life and be feel respected and feel included and feel a part of all of that. And that's an amazing a part of it. How was it for you, Torre?
Yeah, it was the same. We were very intentional about wrapping our arms around the kids and really watching them. I think for me, because you know, I didn't raise Malachi and McKenzie those, you know, in those early years, I wanted to get to know them and to understand their ways. But I was also very intentional about letting them know that you're not my stepson, you're not my stepdaughter. I'm in it for real. And I'll do whatever it takes to learn. So I was intentional about doing one-on-ones with them and really trying to understand them and learn them. And, you know, for us, it was just being intentional, like Sarah said.
Now, between, you know, Dexter and Law, you ought to have a whole lot of stories because you've been married how long?
About 7 weeks.
Yeah.
7 weeks. What have you learned in the 7 weeks?
Yeah. So with us being in quarantine, it's pretty much presented a pretty unique challenge for the two of us. I think our foundation will always reflect these times. So when you're around someone 24 hours and in this new period of time, you can either go crazy or it can really bring you all together. Right. And in a lot of ways, it's really brought us together. It's kind of extended the honeymoon in some ways, but it allows you to really get close and just build a foundation, especially for our communication. All of those things have increased as a byproduct of this time where we can really hone in, focus on what our real vision for our relationship is. So we may not have gotten into that rhythm, but we've definitely gotten to a point where we can say this is a part of our foundation and whatever we have going forward, this has to be baked into the plan. So it's been very good. I don't think we've ever been better.
Look at the grid.
I love how. I definitely agree with this.
We're coming right up.
Of quarantine strengthening your communication. Because, like, you're forced to have conversations. Like, you're forced to find entertainment within each other that you wouldn't have normally been able to pay attention to. And I'm seeing that not just with Brandon, but with my children. Like, I have learned a lot more about my children in this time that I did not know about just being with them 24/7, both from a spiritual and educational place, but also a behavioral place. You know, there are some things that they need some help on, and I just have to apologize to teachers, I'm realizing, at this point, because they were not inaccurate in their sentiments. Children, as it were, it sounds like they were very accurate.
As it were. I don't know.
They weren't lying at all.
I think, PT, you have to speak to this. I will speak for myself, though. I don't know that I feel like our communication has strengthened just because PT constantly makes me communicate in general. Like, PT makes people communicate. Like, how are you feeling? Like, 24/7. So I think my major adjustment when we first got married was learning to communicate my feelings, because he's constantly asking about how I'm feeling, what my pulse is, and what's your thoughts on this, what's your vision on that. So I don't think my communication has really strengthened, but what I do think has strengthened between us during quarantine is our need to really tap into ourselves and to understand what we need as individuals and not necessarily what we need as a couple or a family. So much of our life is poured out to other people, whether it's the kids or the church or touring or the businesses. And we can kind of get distracted by that and not have to check in with ourselves. But what this is showing us, because you can't just get in the car and go on a drive without some thought, and you can't just go out to dinner or go to the spa or whatever, it's really forcing us to address our own feelings. Like, what do you need? What are you feeling? And saying things like, you know, this is really getting to me. Like, I thought I was doing okay, but I'm actually having a little bit of anxiety today. Yesterday I felt good. Today I feel anxiety, because there is no outlet right now. Some of the outlets that we're used to using, we just don't have. I think even for me, like with the house, you know, I'm cooking every single day. And there's something to being able to be like, oh, I'm ordering food tonight. You know, we don't really order food in, because one, it's 18,000 of us and we don't know what's happening with the, you know what I mean? Right. You don't order food the way you used to order
food. COVID-19.
So much pressure on ourselves to, like, you know, I need to cook, I need to do that. And if I don't, I'm not going to be a good wife. And like, yeah. Could, like, care less. As long as there's something to eat, he's like, we can order. I will, whatever, but it needs to be this grand restaurant style meal.
Yeah, you know what's really important is being honest about each other's expectations. Yeah. Because a lot of times when you start out polite, and you don't really say what you really expect, but that's going to wear out.
Honesty
up front is really, really a good thing about how you feel, expressing what your expectations are, what the boundaries are on both sides, so that you kind of enter into some common ground, some good understanding. Because a lot of times you can acquiesce to the other person and just say what you think they want you to hear. Yeah. And that's okay if you were going to only be married for 6 months or a year.
Right.
Yeah. But we've been married 38 years. 38 years is a long time to play at.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't play act for 38 years. You know, 38 years, you're going to be real at some point. Yeah. And it's very important to let the other person know who you really are at your core, what's important to you. Because if you're not careful, you'll be busy giving somebody something that's not important to them.
Right.
At the expense of something else that really is important to them.
Yeah.
Some things can only come from God. And she said, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. She said, I'm a praying woman. God says, the thing that brings peace to pain is making your request made known unto God. Is your prayer life lately? Your kids are generally grown before you really have real conversations. Real conversations. Real conversation where you feel empowered enough to have conversation. There are things that Buster and I talked about as adults I mean, we talk about everything.
Dexter's an adult?
No way. Absolutely not.
Yeah, he's married now. He got it.
Oh, yeah, I'm not an adult now.
He's not an adult either.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Yeah.
This
whatever.
Ain't a sleepover, buddy.
No. This is real. No. But he and I, we've had a lot of deep conversations. He says, yeah. Why didn't you say certain things to me when I was younger? I said, it wasn't time yet. So at different ages and different stages. And then the other thing that I learned, and this may help somebody, and I did not know this in real-time speed. I did not understand the power of a father's voice. When you are a father or a mother and you say something, maybe trying to snatch the kid out of something that you know is dangerous, that intention is good, but what you say has more. I underestimated the impact of the force of the words because I'm a bottom line person. I want you out of it. I want you out. Yeah. I'm going to fix it. Move this over here, move it over there. But you have to understand, just because of the role you're in, those words have a lot of power and they leave a lot of scars, or they hurt very deeply in a way that you weren't even after hurting the child. You're after fixing the problem. But it's just like reaching after a goblet and breaking the china cabinet. Okay, mm-hmm. So this is where mamas become amazing, because they balance out that proclivity in a way that's important. I'm not sure that if the man is neutralized to communicate like, and I shouldn't say all mothers are like your mother, but I think if a man is neutralized to the point that he communicates like a mother does, the child doesn't get to see both sides. So when you end up married to a man, if he doesn't communicate like a woman, you don't recognize male communication. You don't fully know until later. That's why I'm telling you right now. I may not be here to see it, but I'm telling you right now, your report card's coming 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road. And what you begin to find out is that none of us did it perfect, but we did it. And you're not going to do it perfect either. And so part of the compassion that comes, I understand my father so much better now than I did when he was here, because I didn't really get who he was till I tried to do it.
Yeah.
I understand things that went on between he and my mother that I could never understand until I had reached their point in life, in age, in stress, and I began to understand, wow, it's easy to be, what do they call it? A Monday morning quarterback is much easier than it is to play that role for 38 years. You do that 38 years and call me back.
Yeah.
Or 48 years and call me back. To survive is not easy. There has to be, the reason your mother and I are still together, I believe, one, we have a chemistry. Secondly, we have common goals between, when I say chemistry, I'm not talking about, we found a rhythm that works for us. We found a rhythm that works for, she knows me, she doesn't push my buttons, I don't push her buttons. It's a mutual respect. You just don't push each other's buttons. If she's running something, I don't put my mouth in it. If I'm running something, she doesn't put her mouth in it.
Yeah.
This is a message. You do not have to be good at everything. You do not have to be the perfect father. You do not have to be the perfect mother. You have to be there. I don't think that you're going to get your report cards too, and they're going to come back in with minuses and checks and pluses and two as life goes on, and then their kids will get them, and my parents got them, and so forth and so on. But amidst all of the minuses and the critiques, talk to the kids who didn't have no father and didn't have no mother, or their mother left them in the trash can, and you begin to realize, as intimidating as parenting is and being married is, you don't have to be the perfect wife or the perfect mother or the perfect father, but you do have to be there, and you do have to contribute, and you do have to bring something to the table. And if the goal is to be perfect, then who gets the prize?
Right. Yeah, I think I agree with that too. Like, I think as a young husband, as a young father, who didn't have a father, I think that's something that I had to really put on and to learn that it's not about perfection. And perfection is something that I kind of grew up with knowing how we grew up, you know, it was always a struggle, always a fight. So I always put on my best hat, but, you know, to bring some relief, always trying to be perfect, always trying to do things right. And as a father, I recognize, you know, my kids ain't perfect. So then it's like, I find myself tense or find myself wrong. And then having to come back and to, you know, apologize or find myself in those spaces where I show my my imperfectness. I find it the most vulnerable places to have to come back to my 12-year-old and say, you know what, I'm sorry, baby. You know, when all I've ever known was right, but I also see it spill over to the kids. And I don't necessarily, and I recognize a lot of anxieties, if you will, of having to put on that that face of perfectness or perfection. And I see my kids pick it up here and there. And I think as I continue to grow and we had these conversations, some of the things I recognize is it is about showing up. It's not necessarily about being perfect or making it, you know, its finest per se, but it is about, you know, spending that quality time and those moments to really understand each other and understand what it is that our goal is as a family, as a unit, as a husband and wife, as parents, that really makes those moments that much more special rather than just trying to hustle and bustle and be perfect for everybody to see. So that's something else I'm learning that I'm taking in as well from watching you guys, especially Torre and Pops. That's something I get a chance to witness and to consider because it's not about the perfection. And I think it brings a lot more scars and problems trying to do that and recognizing you don't add up to perfection. So that's something else too that that I think we're being more intentional about, or at least me especially, I can speak for me, but being more intentional about the idea that it's not about being perfect, but it's about doing your best and it's about being present.
That's how you can do it.
Your best effort for it.
I think it also helps those who are out there who feel like if I had had this kind of family, things would have gone different. If I had this kind of mom, if I had this kind of daddy, there is struggles no matter what daddy, no matter what mama you get, you can grow up in a castle, you still gonna have chaos, you know, it doesn't matter. There's always gonna be those plus signs and minuses, no matter what teacher you get, no matter what life you are, you know, fortunate enough to live. And I think that it's important for us to be able as a community to give each other permission to not be perfect, to give each other permission to feel, to give each other permission to have a bad day, to let our men, I think that Kobe Bryant's passing away and the men being able to emotionally show their hurt and their pain really was a monumental experience for us as a community because we have lived so long telling Black men they can't cry, they shouldn't show their emotions, and that's a weakness, that we were able to really give you men permission to be emotionally distraught about the situation. And I think that when we give each other permission to feel, to really be engaged with one another and the fullness there, that things and homes can really change. I don't think that we do a service, a proper effective service, if we show that everything is perfect and everything is going great and we never had a bad day ever in our lives and no one ever hurt us and we never had any problems. I think it's important for them to be able to see, yeah, I had some scars. Yeah, that hurt me too. Yeah, I'm still carrying some of the pain of what happened to me as a child. And it brings us together even the more.
Mm-hmm. I think speaking of bringing us together, when I think about this quarantine, and I don't want to be insensitive to the pandemic because we know a lot of people are in pain, but the quarantine part of it, I believe, is where a lot of healing is going to take place.
Yeah.
Because I know for me, my eyes are better now. I'm seeing things better now. Even having to be, getting to be, I should say, at home with the family 24/7, I'm seeing myself, I'm seeing my marriage, I'm seeing my relationship with my kids. I'm thinking differently. I'm even looking at the house and things that the house needs and various things. And so I really think that there's a healing for families right now during this time to not be afraid to take a look, to not be afraid to see and to remodel our homes perhaps. Maybe all of our homes need to be remodeled in some areas. Maybe the home is good, the foundation is great. you know, the now I'm not, you know, construction guy, but the, all the walls are up, but maybe we need some paint over there. Maybe there was a crack that I'd never even noticed was there. And now I'm going to begin to smuggle that. And I think this quarantine is creating an opportunity for that.
I think it's very important for us to remember how to see each other through a filter of love, especially being home and quarantined. You're 24 hours with that person. Something that she or he might say at the moment that you're feeling a certain way, you're going to hear it different than what their intention was in the first place. So I learned from Sarah that you don't hear it just because you're feeling good that day. You hear it through a filter of love. Yeah. So I might not be feeling well today, but I'm listening to him through a filter of love. I'm going to put this filter and I'm going to understand his intentions and not his words. And that's important to for the communication to flow better so we could see those cracks and the wall that needs to be painted together as a unit. We're going to see it clearer for our family and repurpose our goal and repurpose our plan, but we are going to get there.
This is your opportunity to hear Bishop's fun hit series on family, marriage, and relationships.
And I'm only asking for one thing, both for men and women, is to give up on the possibility that everything you think is right.
Today, for your gift of any amount, you will receive Model Homes, the 3-part audio series, and a set of 4 scripture magnets to help keep the word front and center.
I don't need you to be victorious in here. I need you to be victorious out there.
In addition to the Model Home series and magnet set, for your gift of $90 or more, you will also receive the Joshua 24 wall art and pen, Promises from God for Parents, and the Model Homes 30-day devotional.
I got you.
You got me?
I got you.
Okay.
God wants to bless your home life. Don't wait. Call or go online today and get your copy of Model Homes.
Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Potter's Dungeon.